You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up and down.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size
like
and everything else, they just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody's manufactured.
The hand was freaking
out. Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives. Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
What you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, everybody. This is Marco Bill. By golly, Tom, just at the last minute here, got called in. He just drove about, 12, 14 hours. And as soon as he got in, they had a big meeting, and he couldn't get out of the meeting in time. He may come in and break in the middle of the show. So Alex Hearn and Marco Bill are going to host the show until Tom gets in. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've got some really good entertainment for you tonight. But one of the things I wanted to tell everybody, one of our guests, our first guest, is in the Army, and he's going to be due to ship out here to Iraq sometime in 2011. And as you know, the Obama plan is to eventually vacate within X amount of months and get our troops out of Iraq. However, there's something I'd like to say on a personal note, and I don't normally do this on the air, but it's something that means a lot to me, and I think it means a lot to a lot of other people. And it's not so much talking down to everybody, but it is sharing my feelings with you. And I have a strong feeling for the men and women in uniform that serve our country. And I don't know if somebody who's not been in the military knows this, but they swear an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. And to the very end, where it may mean their life, and many of them do. Many of them give their life for our country. And I think that is a service above anything else that you could possibly give to anybody, is our country's freedom is based upon all of these young men and women in our uniform. And they're out there. And you see a lot of things on the news, a lot of hype, a lot of negative press. And the thing that they never cover is they never cover the things that these men and women do when they're over there. They just don't fight wars. Yeah, they do fight wars, and they do fight people. But for the most part, when they're over there, I get emails from many of them. I know many of them over there. I have a lot of friends that are over there. And they are doing things that you just could not even possibly believe to help those war-torn citizens that are out there, the people that they're helping defend. There are many men, women, and children, families, just like we have families here. And it's not as drastic and horrible as the news makes things seem. The media tends to make a lot of hype because they make a lot of money on hype, and that's what they make their broadcast monies on. But the men and women in uniform don't get paid enough, and certainly not enough to give their life for. So it's patriotism at its very highest order. And they do things for these people that's just unimaginable. Schools, help build houses, help get water for them. So many different things and projects that they are doing over there on a day-to-day basis to make this country a livable place for these people. And their previous leader was so horrendously terrible towards his own people. And I think many of you know this. But anyway, that's my little part. I just put a special thing out there for all of these men and women in uniform. And just wish them the very best, and give them my love and admiration for what they give to us. Now, on another note, we've got a couple of people out there that are having some difficult times, and I'd like to kind of maybe ask everybody to say a little prayer for them, wish them well. It's a hard time for many people. Tim Walters, nobody knows him because he's a guest that's going to be on next week. But just recently here, he was supposed to be on tonight, and his mother is near death, and they're making plans right now to take care of her and get her all set up. And so he sent out a little prayer to him. Jan Allen, our good friend Jan Allen, he's running into some hard times here in the last couple of weeks. And we just send them out some good wishes and well wishes for hoping that everything turns out right for him and his wife. Other than that, Alex, are you there, my friend? Alex Hearn?
I sure am, Marco. How you doing?
I am doing superbo great.
I just had myself muted out because I was shutting my office door, but I came back on. So if you heard some of that noise, that's what it was.
Yeah, we just watched our first guest, too. I don't know what happened. He just dropped off the line.
Oh. Well, both things that you spoke about just now touch home to me, too. We got, I come from a military family, and no, I did not serve myself, but we have a sergeant major in my family, and we have a bunch of career military people in my family. And when I'm with the sergeant major, believe me, I'm very, very embarrassed about not ever going in the service. And then, as you know, my mom is at almost that stage, too. So
yes.
My heart goes to Tim and to our first guest, if he can get back on the line, because we love the military and we love, everybody, basically. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, you just go out and do the shout-outs, and I'll see if I can't get a hold of him and see what happens.
Okay. All righty. So who do we got in the chat room tonight? Let's just take a look here. It's loading as we speak. And, of course, we got our usual shout-outs that have to go out to A.K. Riley and Trisha. And, of course, Jan, we wish you the very, very best, brother. Great job on the show the other night. If you guys didn't catch Nightfallers Radio on the 29th, Jan was spectacular as a two-hour guest. Out in the chat room, we got Bill Green, we got Bison26, Jerry. Jerry's been in there the past few weeks, so thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Billy. Dave-O, as always, one of our most enlightening guests, that's for sure. Along with the other Crypto Four Corners guys, we special shout-out to them. We got Dan, of course, the GBI director. We got Lance, the tree hugger. We got Lee Joyner. We got me and you. We got the Snake Man Bruce and Tom's Gentle Giant Steve up there in the Northwest, and then a bunch of guests. So if you guys want to be shouted out, just log in as a real person and not a guest, and we'll say hello to you. And everybody that's saying hi to me in the chat room, hello, guys. I'm here. We got a great show tonight. Marco, who's our first guest?
I'm sorry, I was on the line with our guest. They have a heck of a thunderstorm going on in his area. There are tornado warnings and everything, and he lost power. They just dropped off. He's going to try to get back in. I tell you what, until he gets back in, what we could do is we could talk to Bruce. He's our second guest, Bruce Schill.
Let's talk to Bruce. Our good friend. Fun.
Bruce, could you hit your *7 button, my friend?
Yeah, hello, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I sure can. And Alex, are you on there too, buddy?
I am. I didn't drop off. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
Very good, buddy. How's things up in Montana? What's new?
Oh, there's new snow on the mountains. Colder than heck here.
Wow. People don't realize, you know, in the mountain areas, like where you live, the summer ends a lot earlier than in, say, here in the valley. And so basically, sounds like on the mountains themselves, it's already winter, huh?
Yeah, it is. But we enjoyed summer, all 3 days of it.
So what are the temperatures where you are now? How high will you get for the fall? I guess you'll get a little fall.
In the evening, it's been in the 40s, mid-40s, and daytime's probably high 50s, well, upper 50s, not high. But it's been raining and spitting a little snow now and then, and it's just kind of a ugly weather. But it's all good.
Well, that's perfect weather for what we like to do, right?
Right.
Any new reports from up there, Bruce? What's been going on? Or the old reports, or are you able to start checking them out again because of, you know, summer's ending?
I haven't had any new reports around, but the old ones, I haven't really confirmed anything yet, but I'm sure if it's in the log, you know, in the police log, that it's true, you know. And as far as going back in the mountains, it's just a little bit too dangerous right now because those storms come in so fast, you know, and you can't get caught up in there on the shale, you know. You can't get out of there. So it's been a little trying for us, but we plan on going back if we can, you know.
Right. No, please be careful. Everyone knows about my winter and spring where I got stuck twice, so please be careful. We all know exactly what you're talking about. You're telling the truth. It's a dangerous area. Can't be stuck up there alone. You really need some kind of communication whenever you're up there, you know. I really don't like going on those trips unless I have my satellite receiver working and some other way of contacting people. So we always know which feet can get a possible cell service too, you know. Sometimes even though you're not in the area because the line of sight is so direct with no interference, you can get a cell signal when you don't realize it. So first thing we do when we go into an area is try to figure out which peak, if we have to go to, will work for a cell signal. And, you know, one of our guests, J.C. Johnson, had to hike out of the San Juan River once to get some rescue workers, and he got in touch with Davo. Davo got in touch with Farmington Search and Rescue, and that's how we were able to save one of our friends last spring who had capsized in a canoe and dragged himself out of the San Juan, you know, upriver from where J.C. was, and there was no way getting back upriver. So we know what you mean. It doesn't matter where you are. It can turn dangerous real quick when you're out in the field.
You're right, you know. Well, we're only maybe 45 minutes. What is it, about 30? About a half hour from the mountain where we have these Bigfoots on a four-wheeler, you know, as the crow flies straight over. And then we hike into the mountain. But we can see our place from the mountain where we're at. And we do have a cell phone. And we can call our kids to or the police or, you know, search and rescue or whoever we need. But it just, you know, like if you fall down and bump your head like I did, it could have been very serious, you know. My wife couldn't drag me out of there in a boulder field, you know, rock slide. Well, you know, you're right. You have to be real careful. And we are most of the time, but I had my camera in my hand, and when we was going through the boulder field and I was taping it, and I didn't happen to look down. I seen the rock, but I stepped on it, and it was too late after I put my weight on it. It was a big rock, and it just, you know, tipped it over, yeah. And that's, so, I have no place to go, so, you know, I'm just bouncing off the rocks.
Yep, I've done that before. You think you're on secure footing, and that even though it's a huge rock or something, it spins when you step on it and takes you with it. So I hope you didn't get hurt there.
Oh, no. My toes are kind of coming out of it. I still feel it, but my head was fine. I just kind of had a knot on it and a little bruise, but my leg is okay, too. I'm back at work, and, you know, I'm doing 8 hours a day. But, yeah, it's dangerous. I did happen to see we was up there with the mountain sheep. There was a little herd of mountain sheep there. I forgot to turn my recorder on, but I tried to tape them, but I didn't turn my recorder on. And we got some little varmints running around the road. Pictures of caves and stuff, you know.
Wow. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask, you know, I asked Tom last week about these Bigfoots. I know they imitate all different sounds, but do they whistle?
We believe they do. Mitch and I, and Mitch is prepping for a trip out right now. We've got the Paranormal Matrix TV show going with them tomorrow. We believe that they whistle, they whoop, they scream. We're not even sure. We're thinking they might even try to imitate speech, and I think there's some people out there that would say they definitely do. But we've been walking in the woods and heard someone talk, and nobody's nearby. Go ahead.
Exactly, you know. One time when we were up there, we heard like a bunch of people talking or, you know, jabbering or something, you know, how it is. But it was kind of far away, but we could hear it. And another time there was like a boulder rolling through the trees. It would just kept crashing the trees. I never did make it down to the trees where we heard it, but it went on for maybe, I'd say a good two minutes anyway. But I know a boulder wouldn't roll that long and crashing through the trees. An elk or nothing. There wasn't no elk or nothing.
When I had my first Class A sighting, I was coming out of an outhouse and walking down the side of a hill. This is an infamous outhouse that's had sightings in the past, and that's why we were there. And a rock came rolling down the side of the hill out of nowhere, about the size of a softball. And nobody in the crew was anywhere near that rock. And I yelled over, "Do you guys throw a rock?" And they turned and saw it rolling down the hill, too. So we went hiking where the rock came from, and up at the top of that ridge was a road that went east to west, and we went east. If Preston and I had went west, we might have had a different result. But later that night, to the west side, is when I had my sighting. I was all by myself at the time. Another thing, there's a great story in Mitch's book, which is the Mogollon Monster, Arizona's Bigfoot. One of the great stories in that book is about 100 years ago or so, in the Arizona White Mountains, near the mountain of Mount Escondida, the locals had heard what they thought was a woman screaming. And, you know, they got, at the time, you know, put together a rescue party / posse, and off they went into the mountain. And they followed this woman's scream, thinking they were on a rescue mission. And this screaming woman kept getting just out of range and going up the mountain. So they never quite caught it. And then afterwards, they, through one detail or another, they realized that something seemed to be leading them into the woods, possibly a trap. So they turned around and they left. They actually did something really extreme. And this, I guess, you can look up in Arizona's history, is they tried to basically burn the top of the mountain down. Whatever they thought they heard, they assumed it was evil, and they didn't want it coming back down. So they tried to burn the top of the mountain. And that's one of the great stories in Mitch's book and Susan's book. Any stories like that up in Montana?
Yeah, there's a good story along this little creek that leads back into where the mountain, the glacier is, where the start of this creek, this south fork of Cutbank Creek, there's a glacier and there's a waterfall that comes off, and there's a little creek that runs down through the bottom there, and it's inside the park line, and the rangers built a little ranger station down there on the bottom of by the creek there, and they could never get a ranger to stay in that little cabin. They called it Snowshoe Cabin, but 'cause the ranger claimed that there was something monkeying around it, pulling the boards off the roof, you know, and scaring them to death, and so none of them ever did stay in that little cabin. But the cabin washed out. There was a flood up there, and the cabin's not there no more. But it's right there in the same general area. Well, the same area where we go every time. And I filmed a couple Bigfoot tracks, but they were old, and one was in a spring. You could see the footprint underneath the water. The water was maybe only a quarter of an inch on top, you know, and the mud underneath. See the track just barely, but it was a Bigfoot track. And then up the trail a little ways, there's another one, and it was an old one, but this is the same place that Harlan Racine, they call him Kick, where I used to go up and stay with him up under the mountain there, and he had the stories about the Bigfoot that was packing the elk underneath his arm, the grizzly bear with a broken neck, and the other one where he something dug this little dry spring out with a deer horn, and the horn was still stuck in the bank, and the fresh mud, there was Bigfoot tracks in it, you know. And this is the same area where we investigate every time, because there's caves, there's right around the mountain there's gold mines, And I guess the tracks and everything are still in the mines, the equipment and stuff like that. But that's a real good place for them to hang out and live. And he also mentioned that he went in a cave. It was dug out by something, and it went straight back, and then at the end of it, it turned to the right, and it came straight back toward the front, but it went around the corner like that, and he said he never did go around the corner. And his dad, he was only 8 years old, his dad told him, I mean, after he found him, he gave him hell about it, but he made him promise not to ever tell anybody about these Bigfoots because, you know, people would be up there trying to get a hold of them and, you know, shoot them and capture them and stuff like that. But
well, he was right, too, wasn't he? Turned out he was really right.
Yeah, exactly. He was right, you know, because this is not too far from where we found the tracks where Tom and the Bigfoot crew came up and investigated, and it was in the paper. And you know, I know they're around here, but you just can't find them. You know, when me and my wife were sitting on this mountain up there, we were looking down at the house. We could see the house. We could see my brother's house, both my brother's house and the neighbor's house. And we could see plumb into Browning, the town. And I told Donna, I said, you know why those Bigfoots, we never catch them or nobody can catch them, is because if they had the vantage point of where we are right now, they can watch us coming and going, and they can see us when we leave the house, which way we go, when we come and when we go. And they know everything about us, and we don't know nothing about them. No, and
that's right, Bruce. And you know what? I assume you feel like I do. Their vision is probably better than ours, probably at night, probably in the daytime, too, just like most animals. So they're probably looking at you down there in the house like me and you would be doing with a binoculars or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, you know, it's weird, but, you know, if they know that much about us, they know that we're not there to hurt them or anything. We just want to maybe get a look at them or a picture of them or something, but I don't know their mindset. You know, maybe they don't want us to do that, but I'm sure get used to looking at us. Well, they might let us see them, you know.
Just like TJ always said, you know, we're their entertainment. We're their TV. So they probably sit right up there and watch everything going on. They probably get curious about certain house, and they might even come down and, you know, watch that house in particular. You know, we got someone in the chat room who thinks he has that happening to him just now. And in fact, he's had some whistling, too. Dan Allen lives in the outskirts of a town out there in Georgia, a very thinly settled area. And, you know, he has activity right in his backyard.
Oh.
But, you know, a lot of people that say that. So, you know, we got to tell it like it is. That's all, Bruce. Great job. I think we're probably ready for our next guest. If I know Marco, he's probably hoping I'll stop any minute.
Well, he just dropped off again here, Alex. Going overtime. I'm trying to call him right now. What we can do is we can go to Chris.
Yeah.
We're overtime already. Hey, Bruce, thanks so much for coming on, my friend.
Yeah, anytime.
Yes, appreciate it. And, of course, bless your family and your wife and children and everybody out there.
Well, God bless you folks and the whole crew and Tom, and I hope the sick get well, and I hope the people that are having a hard time at the end of the tunnel, you know. But hope we love everybody, and God bless everybody. And we'll see you later.
Bye.
Good night, Bruce. You know, I feel the same. I'll get up there with Tom the next time Tom's in Montana.
Great. That's good. Great. I better mute out and let somebody else talk. They probably got something good to say.
Awesome, buddy. Chris does. Chris probably cut some prints this week on a fishing trip. So, Marco? Maybe we lost Marco. Chris, are you out there?
No, I'm on the phone with Tyler. They just lost power again, but he's going to dial back in. But we're going to go to Chris.
Awesome, Marco. Awesome. Sorry.
Chris, hit your old star 7 button, my friend.
You want me to star 6, Marco?
I'm sorry. Star 6, Bruce.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Allen, and what I've done is I've posted some pictures. I've posted some pictures for Tyler, who's going to dial back in again here shortly, and after Chris is done, we'll put Tyler on. What we've got is on www.bigfootlive.com, I've got links to the different pictures. Now, Chris has some pictures, a very good picture of him and a crawdad, a good size crawdad, and then also two strange prints. So to open that all up, Chris, are you, did you unmute yourself yet, star 7?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, gotcha.
Hey, Marco. Hey, Marco. Hey, Alex and everybody out there. And by the way, those crawdads you're talking about, those things were huge. We call them like lobsters out there. And I dive in that river. It's called the Greenbrier River. And those things are out there. I'm just always afraid one's going to grab my leg and take it off. No, I'm kidding.
Well, I looked at it. It was making me hungry.
Hey, Alex, I have been praying. I have been saying so many prayers for your mom out there. I hope things are improving with her and is with your family as well, having to go through this trauma and everything. And, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with her.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah. By the way, out there in, if you remember when we were out there in Seligman and you came out to pick me up at the Phoenix airport, me and Rob, we stayed out there on that expedition for at least, how long were we there? Almost a month in the mountains back when that blizzard hit back in November, December. And I spent Thanksgiving, folks, out there at Alex's house. And don't let anybody lie to you. That man can cook. He cooked 2 turkeys up, and everything was missing but the bone time we finished. It's getting that time of year again. Yes, but I got those tracks that I sent the photos in, and I had did some a lot of research. I've seen so many bear tracks. I've seen so many mountain lion tracks. And I've seen so many Bigfoot tracks. And this area, as everyone that has been in the Greenbrier County knows, is full of bear, full of a lot of mountain lion. And I've seen a larger cat than that out there, Alex, as you're the expert of cats. And I've just seen so many things. This is where I've seen the 3 Gigantopithecus blackies out in the same area. And I kept hearing screeches. I kept hearing screams. I heard many mountain lions. And there's a difference in a mountain lion scream, which can actually imitate the voice of a woman in its own self screaming. And these screams were definitely not that, and not the same volume. If you would scream into a microphone, that's how loud something outside my tent had screamed one of the nights that we were there. And there was about 7 of us that were there on this expedition, and we didn't really get much of a chance to fish because we've seen so much activity going on out there. We decided to spend most of our time tracking, and we went way back up on a road out of the forest at Sherwood Lake, and I've seen several tracks. Some of them were quite huge, but then there are these small tracks that were there with the large tracks. The large tracks were not clear enough to even make a plaster casting out of if I would have had plaster with me. But those small tracks, you could actually see the fingerprints, if you call it that, in the track if you zoom in on it. Still curious what that could be.
They had those prints there. Now, the small ones, I think, were maybe a bear. Somehow its claws aren't showing, but it's a perfect black bear front paw track. The back ones, they had some really long toes or fingers on them. And,
yes, they did.
You know, they were, it was clearly long, elongated fingers. So, you know what I always like, and now here you got a real animal. maybe it's some kind of mutation, hybrid, crossbreed between species. Who knows? And you know what I always wanted to ask you, because you mentioned that when we're talking about your prints, you mentioned that you've seen some cat prints even larger. Do you think, you know, I'm not sure about a leopard, how much of a roar they have, but a jaguar will roar just like a tiger, and you can see some great examples of jaguars on the AZCRO News TV channel. You know, that's the 22-hour loop, everything from large cats on there, the Mothman, Chupacabra, to, you know, of course, Bigfoot. But there's some great videos I got out of Big Cat Rescue down in your area. And, you know, people in Florida, there's a lot of people, and I'm not sure about Big Cat Rescue. I'd really like to know their opinion on this. Think that there's probably a existing social structure of leopards in Florida from so many animals being let go as pets. And,
yeah,
you know, you have the experience in something like that, because just like I always say about the jaguars and the mountain lions, for one, the mountain lions are coming back, and they're probably back there, and they're bigger out here, so they're probably bigger out there. But if you, these leopards are probably going to have a range somewhere in between 450 miles and 250 miles. You know, jaguars got a 450-mile range, and the mountain lion has a 250-mile range. You know, that's kind of pushing it. Somebody probably say 180, 200, but let's just say 250. The leopard, and you know, right in between those guys in size, is going to have a range probably the same, right in between. And if they're in Florida, it's only a matter of time before they start moving north. And although it gets a little cold in the north, the leopard, as you know, there's the such thing as the snow leopard, so they can handle some cold temperatures in the winter and the warm temperatures in the summer. It sounds like you're in a cat paradise. If they ever get in there, they'll never get out.
Yeah, this is definitely a cat paradise. And but speaking of cats, let me tell you a cat story, which is amazing. Because, I mean, I don't mind telling somebody I've seen 7 Bigfoots, but try to imagine I'm out in my vehicle and I'm doing something I shouldn't have probably been doing. I'm driving through the woods, not on a road. I'm dodging trees, driving through the woods with friends and family with me. And I had one of my sons with me at the time. And this was before he moved off onto his own or whatever, but we were driving out into the woods, and I saw this cat. Now, it was almost the size of my Jeep. We stood there. I mean, inside the vehicle, we sat there, I should say, with the lights right on it. We had the pasture windows were down, and what do? I jump out on the driver's side with my head above it, and I start teasing it, making house cat sounds like meow. This thing ran full speed right at my Jeep, and I jumped in. They hit the floor. I don't know what they were doing. And I hit the window. The power windows were on the driver's control side to get the window up so it couldn't come in the window. And all of us that were in that vehicle swear that it was not a mountain lion, not a jaguar, but an African female lion, a lioness. Well, I would not tell nobody this because they're really going to think we were out there drinking or something crazy. But then it was only about 3 months after that, the local paper called The Messenger in the area actually had a man shot, a female mountain lioness out there that was traced back to somebody had turned it loose as a youngster because it was probably getting too aggressive, too large, ate too much, who knows, whatever. But he set it free, and we found it in the woods out there looking for Bigfoot. Now, I'll tell you what, this thing was so huge. When you're looking at a cat nearly as long as your vehicle, you know, it'll raise more than the hair on your back. You know, but I've heard many cats scream.
You know what, Chris? It sounds like is even bigger than a regular lioness. I wonder if that wasn't maybe a liger, a cross between a tiger and a lion, which they're constantly doing in the southeast in those different cat refuge and animal refuge. And, you know, one of my favorites is Hercules, but, you know, Hercules is the largest cat existing in the world right now, and he's about 8 feet long.
Wow.
Late, you know, in his regular position. And he's more like 13 feet, 11 to 13 feet. depending on who you talk to. But there's a picture of him reaching up the top of a bus in London.
I've seen your pictures on that.
Yeah, they're in my article. Thank you. You know, so maybe it was actually something like that. Of course, back in those days, if they're just going to shoot it because they think it's an escaped pet, they wouldn't really go in depth to find out if it was a liger or a tiger or a lion. But, you know, a liger can look like a lion, exactly, or a tiger or something in between. Hercules kind of looks like something in between. But,
I've been on expeditions all over the United States, and I've had my upbringing that since I moved from Texas to West Virginia with my family. By the way, my mom told me to tell both you guys hello tonight and all the listening fans. She is doing better with everybody knows she was recuperating from her cancer. And she's now, we can't quite say cancer-free, but so far all the tests are coming back negative. But when I was a child growing up in the Hernshaw, West Virginia area, I heard this man I thought this man was just literally whooping the crap out of his wife or girlfriend or whatever. And I'm out on the road. I'm out there jogging because it's cooler to jog in the evening time. And I was getting so offended by this woman just screaming that me and my brother, we decided to go and take care of this man that's beating this woman up over there. And then we heard it run up the hillside. That's the first time I actually realized that wasn't a woman screaming. That was a panther, a mountain lion screaming. And I heard it firsthand. It sounds just exactly like what a child or a woman's voice could sound like when she's just screaming, you know. And I've had a couple of other experiences with that. And I've wondered how many times people might actually be spooked or frightened thinking that they're actually hearing a Bigfoot when they're hearing a owl or they're hearing a mountain lion or another cat making its mating or screaming calls, you know, territorial calls. I used to raise wolves, and they would make certain strange noises when they were looking for a mate, and I'm assuming that the cats would do the same thing.
Oh, they definitely will. I'm sure everybody out there listening's probably heard a female cat in heat. You know, it drives you nuts as they walk around the house calling, and that sound will go right through the walls. All the cats outside would be all around your house and stuff.
The
big cats will do it too. Go ahead.
When I heard these Bigfoots a couple of winters ago when I camped up there, I camped at the lake up there in two blizzards. One was 20 below zero, the other was 30 below zero, and the 20 below was not the wind chill. That was the actual temperature from the White Sulphur's Bank. They used to have a clock out front that had the temperature. They took it down, I don't know why. And I love winter camping because, one, you don't have mosquitoes or ticks or annoying people that might be out there just, you know, trying to do something that's destroying your footprints. And that's when you find the most, you know, the best footprints you'll find will be in the wintertime. And this area is so active with so many different types of animals. I spoke with many for the last, I'd say, 4 or 5 years. A lot of bear hunters would come up to me, and they're like, Chris, you know, I've been following you. I've been watching you. We got your album or whatever. And I don't know how to tell you this, but I feel like I know you, so I'm going to talk to you straight up. We've had to double our dogs out on the bear hunts lately in the last several years because of bears. And I've told this to Tom countless times. The bears have become more aggressive lately, and it's almost like they're starving. They're trying to find food. They're being very agitated. The males have lately not been hibernating in the wintertime. The females always hibernate in the wintertime, sometimes later than usual. But a lot of times the males in the last couple of years especially, there have been a lot of hunters that actually shot, tracked, trapped bear in the late wintertime in the snowfall, where they're out trying to find their food supply, almost as something is devouring their food chain. Now, there's a lot of explanations that I could come up with in my own mind. One, the coyote populations are drastically increasing. You hear the coyotes many nights out there, and assuming that's what I'm hearing is the coyotes, not the dog-faced Bigfoots out there, but there are a lot of things out there that you'll find the tracks of. And the Bigfoots, when we were out there in this, we were in a tent. And I've got a camper and I've got an RV both, but we were in a tent, my preferable way to camp. And while we're out there, Bruce was talking about a while ago on the phone, that when you're listening, you know, they could actually be out there around the trees and watching you. And I've proved this to myself because I'm out in the woods looking back at my campsite, and nearly every tree that's at least 100 feet outside of my campsite, you can see all the pine bristles just raked away where something has been, or many things have been, right there behind the tree. And you could see on so many paths. the size of a human or a couple of human that would be behind a tree spying on a house or something for surveillance. That's the way most of all the trees around my campsite were. Now, this is not a campsite that's in a park. I don't camp in parks that often. I camp out in the woods, way away from people, where if there's going to be something out there, that's what I'm looking for. And I camp out there with some pretty high-tech equipment so where I could find this at nighttime, though I didn't really see this time, but I've heard the Bigfoots, and I know the scream and the whoops from the Bigfoots from doing this my whole life. And if you're ever in the Sherwood Lake, Greenbrier County, Blue Bend area, those are some very hot spots to find all of the activity. I'm talking black bear. I'm talking the mountain lion, jaguar. In this area, jaguar, if you look on the internet for the jaguar, in the late 1800s, this area is packed full of jaguar before they were actually supposedly became extinct in this area. I've seen jaguar tracks in this area, and I've seen jaguar tracks in many other states in the United States. The first was in Needles, Arizona, coming out of California, at the Taco Bell right there, coming out of the desert dunes.
Yep. I got a report in that area just recently. Jamie, if you're out there, always thinking of you. Of a large black cat jumping clean across the road in that area, the highway, and we all know what highway that is, in front of a driver on his way back to Nevada. And that was just recently, within the past few weeks, of a large black cat jumping clear across the road. Well, even if that mountain lion could get black, it's not going to be able to jump that far. It would have to be something more athletic and probably a little bigger, i.e. a leopard or a jaguar.
If you go to the Cincinnati Zoo, they have a great illustration on the wall there. They have an exhibit of cats there, which is quite fascinating. And I've been there countless times. I'm fascinated by all type of creatures and animals. But the mountain lion, they show a drawing across the entire wall, and it was more like just a leap of 35 feet that this mountain lion had jumped. But you're talking the elevation in the air, and as your thing on the large cats that I read today, which is really, that was a lot of research you did there. That was dynamite. If anyone hasn't read what I'm talking about now, give them the website when we finish here and let them know where they could find this at. That was very informative information on there. And these cats, if they jump on you from out of a tree, off a cliff, or something of that nature, ambush. By the way, puma is Latin for horse killer. These things are notorious for severing the atlas, which is the last vertebrae in your back. Your skull is attached to.
That's it.
They'll jump
exactly
right down and
right.
Snap your back. They'll jump down and snap your back before they get the bite in.
Yep. That's a known fact. And that's a known fact. And, you know, I'll actually bet a mountain lion could probably jump the road, too. You know, they can jump some 80 feet out off a perch. And you know, they've been known to jump as high as 100 feet. Imagine being able to do that. But think about your little house cat, some of the things you'll see it do when it's going through one of its little spastic. I don't know if, you know, every little kitten seems to go spastic one day and run around the house a couple times, you know? Imagine, you know, an 8-foot cat doing the same thing. I mean, if he steps on you while he's doing that, he's probably going to kill you.
Yeah, yeah. I have actually videotape of some cats that were stalking me down on one of my expeditions looking for the Bigfoot in the area. This was a number of years ago, and it's on, I think it's called High 8, some kind of night camera that we had at the time. And we're walking down this road, and some of the people of our group heard some snapping sounds. And me being in loud equipment, for those of you that don't know who I am, I'm a recording artist. I'm around large amplifiers almost on a daily basis. So I don't have the keenest hearing compared to what somebody that sits in a library or something else would have. Nevertheless, we shine our lights. I count. I said, all right, now I'm going to count to three, then we'll stop the next time. One, two, three. We stopped. It didn't. So we shine our lights no more than 35, 40 feet off the road. There's a mama with her two cubs, ears laying straight back. Now, at the time, there's a guy that has a little booklet out. I bought it at one of the truck stops. Claims to be the most authoritative figure on mountain lion.
Uh-oh. Did we lose Chris?
We lost him.
His battery went dead. Great story.
Yeah, his battery went dead. Well, you know, we still got about 7 minutes left, 9 minutes left right now.
Alex, our friend Tyler, that thunderstorm is just killing him. It's knocking him off. He had power outages back and forth, and that's what's been, he's been doing. What I'll do is try to have him on next week. But we have some. We have another a follow up of the investigation last week with J.C. Johnson. And if you look at www.bigfootlive.com, there's a link, and it's a video investigation showing the irrigation pipe, showing the holes punched in it, and
I'm
the
in the chat room for people right now.
Huh?
I'm always looking at it as you're saying that. Sorry to interrupt you. And I'm putting the link in the chat room for people right now. It's obviously also on your Bigfoot Live webpage.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Michael.
But anyway, if you look at that, you take a close look at that, and JC takes you right through the whole thing. Where the drainage, where the irrigation pipe was, it was turned end for end. It was carried from the middle of the field back to a certain portion of the field out of the middle of it so that if the skunk got out, it wouldn't get away. And it punched two holes about maybe 24 inches on either side to try to keep that skunk from going out either end. And it reached in and grabbed it with his hand, and there's all kinds of blood, hair, and skin, both the skunk and the creature that did it. And there's scrape marks on the irrigation pipe from either teeth or the fingernails of the creature. Now, this is really something else. It's a very good video investigation of it. And they go through everything. So if you take a look at that, that's a good follow-up for what we've been talking about from last week when we had JC on and they were going through what took place. They are packaging up the evidence for samples for DNA examination. And like I said, it's very rare that we've had blood. We have blood, skin, and hair. So that's a pretty good thing.
That's really cool. Maybe we can get it parlayed with some new DNA investigation with the toenail and see if the DNA comes out similar.
Yeah, we have a jaw. We have from a skeleton. We have the toenail. We have other hair samples. And you put all those together, if you get them all together, okay, they may be not a known species. It'll be an unknown species. But the DNA being similar or the same will justify that it is from a creature of the same species, and it's not a known species. So that would give some credible evidence to the existence of an unknown species that's around, which we call Bigfoot, or other people call Mogollon Monster, many different there's several different species of this creature running around with different names. But it's pretty neat.
It sure is.
And, one other thing here. Well, we've got about 5 minutes. Alex, you put out a magazine article. It's a very good article, by the way. And it's on cats. And, of course, we cover Bigfoot. But that doesn't mean people aren't interested in other things. And if you could give them a link to that, I think they'd really, really enjoy it. I've looked at it. It's really, I enjoy it. I mean, it's very, very well written and well done. And I'm going to try to post a link on our website as well.
Well, thank you, Marco. And, it's not quite done yet. It's a continuing effort. And,
yeah.
And seeing my writings on eyeshine and cats and other animals. And I planned on incorporating that into the end of it before I finished. And then I plan on another article similar on primates and how it may relate to what we're doing searching for Bigfoot. And these investigations that I've come upon, the large cats that I've seen, and I want to say one thing as soon as I'm done, too. The large cats that I've seen have all come about usually through a Bigfoot investigation. And that's why everybody from Chris to the people here, like Larry, and, you know, we love Larry Jenkins. I've been with him just recently, and I'm going to go with him again as soon as he needs me. We're prepping the place for Rex's arrival in the winter. These cats and stuff, you come upon them when you're doing this. You know, I heard a couple of guys talking this weekend on a different radio show. We won't say who they are because I don't want to put them down. But they were saying how they never go armed into the field. Well, that may be so wherever you are, but I don't think so, not talking to Chris. And, you know, bears are one thing. Bears will stay away from you. A cat, these large cats, they're bigger than you. You're just the ball of strength. And if they're hungry, they're coming after you. So anyone that goes out into the forest without a sidearm or something bigger, at least in Arizona, and probably where Chris is too, they're just plain stupid, you know? Because I've been on Larry Jenkins' property and seen two cats since that time. And I'll tell you what, the first one, it was stalking Larry and Rob, and it was on a cliff. And I saw Larry and Rob go across the crypt, around the corner of the wash, the Scotty Canyon, and that cat got up and moved in their direction. And when I yelled to them, I'm sure it took off. But they were the ball of strength, and they might have got pounced on. And that canyon's only about 60 feet high. That's a great jump for a cat, but they can do it. And that was two people, and it was
Alex, it's not just cats. I mean, Jan Allen sent a picture of a gigantic bear up there in Alaska. And the guy was taking a walk, and now bears don't normally just go around and chase you. And this guy happened to have his revolver with him, and the bear was 20 yards from him, and it just started charging. And he shot, and he said it was a lucky shot. He killed it dead, one shot, or two
That's
shots,
amazing.
I guess it was. Yeah, and but, I mean, it just goes to show you. I mean, when you're out in the woods in an area where there's, bears and other things, most animals don't attack, but there are some that do, and you don't want to take the chance. Over here in California, for instance, every couple of months there's a cat attack or a coyote attack, even on little kids in the backyards, in their yards. I mean, wild animals are hard to predict. And so you do need something to protect you in the event of. And so it's foolish not to have something to protect yourself, especially if you're out in an area that you're not familiar with, that you have no protection. You need to have something. Fire isn't the only thing that protects you. You need a firearm. But anyway, here we are. 1 minute. How about saying goodbye, Alex?
Good night, everybody. Kudos and salutations. Keep Bigfoot.
And everybody, good night. Tom will be back next week. Keep on Bigfooting, and see you all next week. Marco Bill says goodbye.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
Turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Boston.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size and everything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody manufactured
this. The hand was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives. Bigfoot lives. A movie
right now
at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot Live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. What brought them together? Reason for the fact.